Hello, Melinda.
Hey, Omar.
We have a wonderful guest joining us today. You want to introduce her?
Yes, we have Emily Wendell here in studio as our special guest. I'm so grateful to our team member, Susie Lee, for just making this introduction. And Emily, I've heard so much about you ever since I've met Susie as we talk about, you know, the vision and the mission of Gratitude Blooming, which is all about how do we navigate the journey of life through, you know, intentionality, making space to really reflect on the questions along the way. And one of the things that I'm just really loving is how much we're talking about the importance of the pause right now in our lives. So I'm really excited for this conversation, this live practice with you, to see what, you know, season of life is unfolding for you right now, and what the nature inspiration has to say today through the Gratitude Blooming cards. And we've been adding in a new closing practice of tuning into a song inspired by the card deck.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Like you said, our mutual friend, Susie, as she shares more about Gratitude Blooming and everything you guys do, there's so much overlap in what you do. And
it would be wonderful if you could just share with our listeners a little bit about your story and, you know, how did you come to, you know, I saw your face just light up when Belinda said, you know, we're really focused on like, how do we invite people to pause, right? Like that doesn't always resonate with anybody, like with our go, go, go sort of culture. The idea of like, go slow to go fast is sort of like, maybe, how about I just go fast, you know? And, you know, we forget sometimes like how disruptive it is to just pause, and what has sort of invited that disruption in your life to elicit such a smile.
Belinda was talking about where you are in life now and how that connects to the pause. And I would say there's sort of two big themes in my life. One is a big health journey. I have two immune conditions and I've been pretty sick for about 7 years. It's sort of a long story, but I was sort of on a path living in Boston, going to go to medical school, kind of had this other life, and ended up getting sick through a number of different sort of small health things that turned to big health things. I was misdiagnosed for 4 years and really got the conditions I had progressed or have progressed quite a lot. So I got very sick and I'm in the process of working my way out of that, which is sort of a daily, hourly endeavor to just work my way towards stronger health. And then in parallel, I would say the other place I am is really focusing a lot on creativity and building this brand business. It sort of reminds me of Gratitude Blooming in terms of bringing together lots of different things, but just growth in this, I guess it's will be a business shortly that's coming forth through me. So those are the two sort of big things in my life. I think it's interesting with regards to this theme of pause. I was thinking about that because sometimes it feels like the opposite of pausing when there's so much to rebuild in both spaces, right? Like I'm rebuilding a lot physically, rebuilding my health, trying to build a business, you know, craft a new life. All of that sounds like action, not pausing. And I guess what I've learned even more than just a single pause is about pacing. And the way pause kind of comes into that for me is sometimes when it feels like a lot to have these big tasks ahead, I kind of think of them in my head as like building wire sculptures, like one wire at a time. And pausing when needed or going slow or just, you know, you can't do it all at once. So kind of embracing the one single step at a time in a paced way as counting as a pause. Like it doesn't have to be a I'm completely off or completely on experience.
I just love this visual of you weaving this metal sculpture and how much at different points it takes intricacy and like really being present. And other times maybe you're trying to get a few pieces in and it is a bit more of a fast pace. So it's a beautiful metaphor and physical example of that, like integrating and balancing.
I think it might look like my life's quote been on pause for 6 years as I've, you know, been. And for me, it feels almost the opposite of pause in terms of so much is happening physically, otherwise, you know, learning to sort of learning a whole new way of life, learning new things, learning a new direction. Just it feels active, even though on some sort of standard metric places, it's been on pause. It just came to me as you were speaking.
Sometimes when we invite stillness, we realize how much is moving at any given moment. This morning, a friend invited me to a meditation farm in Topanga, which is just like an hour north of Los Angeles, but like, you know, big city. And then all of a sudden we make a turn and we're on a dirt road. We're like, did we make a wrong turn? And how did we end up on this dirt road? And just really this irony, right? That you can create this space of pause of this farm on a dirt road in the middle of this very busy city. And so it's something that we can both feel within ourselves, but it's also sometimes shocking how we can find these moments in the world around us. If you would take us maybe a little bit from that transition of like, I'm going to med school and I have a very young daughter who is very interested in a career in medicine. And I'm like, are you sure you really want to do this? Like, and she just started AP bio and it's like, are you sure you really want to do this? Because it is, there's an irony to me that like folks that are in medicine are so in their heads and yet it's really a study of the body. And it's so rigorous, like you're just learning all these like intricate things about biology and how the body works. And then to go from that like hardcore, like I'm going to make this commitment to like, oh, my body can't do this right now. And I've got to like, that's a big adjustment just for the psychological shift alone, besides just sort of addressing whatever those underlying health are. Maybe if you could just walk us through that transition, both maybe early on and then now 6 years in, what has that meant for you? And I, you know, I know that like you talk about somatic work, and I'm sure that that wasn't, or maybe it was, how you were thinking about the body 6 years ago.
Yeah. Wow. That's, I haven't thought about that. I would say even back when I was sort of on the med school path, I was always interested in like the sort of how can I change this or what could be different about medicine? Where is all the integrative health? How does creativity come in here? I was really involved in sort of the humanities and medicine programs. I was kind of always coming at it from this angle that's a little different, you know, seeing, as you described, that hardcore science, you know, rigor that is medicine and wanting to kind of bring in these other parts or see what could be done with them. So the transition, I would say, the way it happened, one was very, I don't want to say body forced, but I was getting sick. I mean, I had these minor health events happen, a concussion, a dental thing that had an infection, and that we now know sort of set off this autoimmune disease in my body. And I was quite sick and just getting really sick over the course of 3 years. And the process of letting go of the medical school was sort of slow in that I like deferred a year, deferred another year, and then finally was like, oh, this just isn't going to be a match. I would say the more organic way it happened, like those, that was sort of the logistics. But in terms of my interests was, I as I was sick, I stayed with that interest of medicine and healthcare and integrative medicine, you know, everything I was focused on, I stayed with that. And those would be, you know, the courses I would take online, the podcasts I would listen to, where I dedicated my time to still learning, still thinking, oh, maybe one day I'll be a doctor and bring this new twist. And I think it kind of happened naturally. I was just going with what I was interested in as a patient and as someone interested in the healthcare system. I mean, I was very sad as I let go of my spot in medical school, and that was obviously emotional, but I also was just on this path, as you said, of healing myself and going with what interests me. I guess I feel fortunate. I'm very interested in a lot of things. I'm really interested in creativity. The somatic stuff wasn't just to sort of get me through pain. I also found it interesting, and I found it interesting how it connected to creativity. And just, you know, if I do look where I am now, it is very different than med school, but it didn't feel like a stark transition. It felt like I was just going with the parts of it and branches of it that interested me along the way.
And how would you describe somatic work? You know, I think this is something that I feel like it's a word that it's sort of like meditation. Like 20 years ago, like meditation, or maybe 30 years ago, meditation was like, oh, that sounds sort of new and edgy. I feel like somatic is our generation's word that's like, hey, this is new and edgy. And so people are probably defining it in lots of different ways.
Totally. Is it okay if I just share my personal definition?
Please.
There are many experts in somatics who would probably give a very academic answer. To me, it's about exercises of, you know, with your mind, energy, body, attention, any tools at your disposal that I've used to sort of be with your body or with extreme physical sensations. And that can be pain or sickness, like feeling very sick, or the simplest way it was ever described to me is sort of like putting a soft hand over a hard fist, like how you meet the experience going on. So in my mind, it's like this, again, I like the creativity approach because it keeps it a little more playful. It's like somatics to me is just a toolkit or a playroom or building up all these different, you know, paint palette, whatever you want to call it, to be with whatever you're experiencing, which can be challenging.
Yeah, I really appreciate you talking about play. This is something that I feel like I've really been trying to be more intentional about, like, where can we bring joy and play into practices that can be heavy, in part because you're talking about healing, right? And so, you know, and I think the creativity part of it, and I was just in a conversation with a dear friend who, her work, she calls mind body artist. And, you know, for her, it's what's the story that we're telling our body, right? And if we use play, then we can have a more creative approach to, you know, like chakras for some people might be like, oh, that sounds very like woo woo or heady. But if you're like, well, it's just a story that I'm telling my body. And maybe it also happens to like line up with the endocrine system, you know, and maybe you take a science point of view of like, oh, what is this happening to my body versus like, no, I'm going to tell a story and that's how I'm going to enter. And maybe that's what allows a little bit of that softness, you know, on something that is hard. You know, I think that's just such a beautiful way to bring those things together. And it feels like you've been weaving your own. And how's that experience been going to sort of weave your own sort of set of modalities?
Going back to my our first topic about sort of wire by wire building things. I think the healing health world especially can be super overwhelming with the number of modalities, the number of sort of strong opinions about what should or shouldn't be done. And for me, has been its own practice of learning what's next in terms of medicine or treatment or healing modality for your own body. And I think particularly having been, I spent about 4 years, you know, like I said, misdiagnosed, just kind of jumbled around with treatments and things that weren't correct for me, which is not uncommon. I'm sure many share that, but it's its own practice. And another sort of wire building thing I have going on, I think, is learning how do you tell what's next.
Well, I'm just really struck in your story by how who you are has not changed, even though life has had its way with you. And that's actually pretty different. You know, like for some people, when life has its way with you, it totally shakes everything up. Whereas like there were some internal pillars of who Emily is that never changed. And so that's fascinating that those stayed the same while you adjusted your life around to continue to weave those things, those interests.
Thank you. That's very kind of you to say.
And yeah, how did you cultivate that sense of self early on? Because I think that's a clue, you know, as we're finding our way, like how can we anchor in those core aspects that never change of who we are.
I'm going to use the word freedom, which to most, I feel like most people close to my life and my experience would say it's been the opposite of freedom. I'm so limited, you know, or have been by disease in terms of what I can or can't do, or you could look at it through a lot of limitations. But the reason why I say freedom is it's also almost like I'm so off the sort of step-by-step path I was on that it probably did give me a little more, like I'm holding on to nothing. So I'm really just doing what I can and what I love in each moment. And that kind of brought those things forward. I also wouldn't be telling the whole story if I didn't share, like I did have a lot of help, I think, through different tools, through great professional help. But there's a tool called Human Design. I'm not sure if you've ever heard of it. It's funny because I talk a lot about human-centered design, like design thinking and IDEO, and human design it's such a similar name, but so different. It's like a astrological energetic Myers-Briggs for those listening who haven't heard of it, but it's akin to one of those sort of personality Enneagram modalities. And that really helped me. I came across it super randomly, I think, just like on Instagram, but learning about that and my type and its encouragement to kind of just follow what makes you happy, as simple as that sounds, or what you're interested in, that has been a huge tool, I think, in maintaining in my interests, my passions, like my core components amidst something I could have never recognized.
What was your personality type that it said?
In human design, the way they break it down is like energy types. I'm a projector, which doesn't have to, they're very random names, but a big feature of it is about like just focusing on what fascinates you for this type, like just really trying to pare down to like, if I have 30 minutes where I can do something, like what's sort of lighting you up, or learning to pay attention to that, I think really has helped keep some vibrance and core components going during all of this.
Yeah, that's a modality is so intricate. I remember a friend of mine who, like, people are either like obsessed with it or like really turned off because it's so intricate. I know that I'm a generator, and I have had friends kind of share about it. And so, and yeah, they map like numbers and dots along your systems. It looks acupunctural when you see the diagrams.
Yeah, I definitely do not know all the numbers. I just sort of, in sort of a private way, like have taken that tool and just even the two basic things about the type and integrated that in as a way to try to keep focus on core parts of me that I want to keep.
I think I'm a manifester in that model. and I love what you just said about that last part, which is like, I just took two pieces out of it and really tried to incorporate it. And, you know, after our meditation this morning, I was talking to the teacher and I was like, oh, cause it wasn't a guided meditation. So we did a sort of initial chant, and then the invitation was sit in the way that works for you. And so then after, I was like, oh, so, you know, was yours like a mantra, or like, what was your sort of meditation? And he kind of just laughed because he said, there's 84,000 ways that the mind can go sideways. And so there are 84,000 meditations. And so obviously you're not going to explore 84,000 meditations, right? Like, you're going to only sort of be able to explore. But I like that, you know, what I feel like you're sort of listening for is like, well, which is the next meditation that I need now? Right. And meditation is, whether that's a somatic practice, a creative practice, an Enneagram type practice, and just be like, okay, that's the next one, you know. And there isn't necessarily like, I've got to learn 84,000 meditations so that I understand every which way the mind isn't, or the body isn't, or whichever isn't in alignment. It's just like, okay, I'm listening. Okay, these two things, these are the next two meditations. And so we're going to introduce to you some more ways to kind of explore what serves you. And these are from the Gratitude Blooming card deck, which, you know, were created by the artist Arlene Kim Suda. And it was her practice of noticing. And one of the ways that we talk about noticing with Gratitude Blooming, and, you know, is like, meditation begins with noticing each breath. Mindfulness begins with noticing change. Gratitude begins with noticing with your heart. All of these things are about bringing awareness to our noticing. And so I'm going to pull up the card deck. This is our digital deck. And you're going to be looking at 7 rows, 6 columns. And this is like my Vanna White moment, where I'm going to scroll and you tell me when you want to pause.
Ooh, and before we do the card pull, Emily, please share, what is your beautiful question today that is present and alive for you in this season of your life? We'd love to start with the question and see what nature has to say.
So it can be any question?
Just any question.
I guess I would say, how do you have patience when you want to get a lot done?
So 7 rows, 6 columns. So again, I'll just scroll.
Okay. I think this third row that you're okay. On, second one in.
Second one in. How to have patience. Ooh. Number 15, representing hope with the azalea flower. And the prompt is, take a moment to remember a time you were filled with hope. What do you need to feel like that now? So as you look at the art, you look at the theme, and you reflect on this prompt, how does hope or the azalea represent the opportunity to invite more patience in your life?
Wow. Well, it's funny. To me, the answer is so obvious because it's so connected. When I see the word hope, I can't help but hear this teaching. This isn't from me, but someone who said that to have practical hope, not just like high level, I hope things are better one day, but practical hope is in the single action at a time, which is exactly what we were talking about at the beginning. So to
that's
me,
amazing.
And for the listener, the image and art on this card is a very sort of intricate arrangement of azaleas, kind of like the sort of wire sculptures we were talking about earlier. But it looks like something that's really intricate, that's a bunch of small things that came together. So it fits.
And now, reflecting on the prompt, take a moment to remember a time you were filled with hope. What do you need to feel like that now?
I think a combination of presence and patience. Just that really, sorry, I keep repeating it, but it is true to where I am now in life, which is what you were all talking about, the sort of one single step or one single hour at a time. That's really how I approach things these days.
Just the fact that you can take a step is both an act of hope, but also shows that hope is real, right? Like, even in sort of a darkness, or, you know, wherever there may be sort of a feeling of like not enoughness, right? An urgency of like, how do I move things forward?
And it makes it to me smaller. I think it just, these words can feel really big, but I think that singleness of a single step can help shrink it, at least for me.
And also what I heard in your story, Emily, is that your passions and your curiosities and your interests really brought you hope, in that you continue to explore creativity. You continue to explore different healing modalities throughout your journey of healing. And that didn't stop you. Like, the physical limitations did not stop you from that.
Thank you. Yeah, I think I'm realizing it's also just true with a lot of health conditions. They really force a in the moment experience, because it's a lot of health conditions, you know, are very unpredictable, susceptible to flares. It's like a forced, or forces you right into the present, where all this stuff we're talking about happens.
I feel like your soft hand over a tight fist is such a great image for this, right? Like, you know, like, whatever that difficult feeling is in your body in that moment, the practical hope, the next step is like, how do I bring gentleness to it, right? When everything is sort of screaming, give up, like, just take an extra aspirin or whatever the sort of, you know, potential medicated approach might be. And, you know, and hey, maybe sometimes that is the right thing, is just like, hey, you know, what is the sort of soft way to kind of move forward? And I don't know. I love this idea of hard and soft, right? Just like, how do we hold space for both?
And I would love, Emily, for you to pick a card for our community, for people that need a bit of hope right now in their lives. Would love for Omar, for you to flash the screen again, and just have Emily, you pick the card for our listeners and our viewers.
All right. And is there an intention that you, Belinda, or Emily want to share for the community?
I would say, may this inspire hope in your life. If, you know, if you're finding it hard to find hope or feel hope, I hope this card will give you a clue to reconnect.
Ah, number 10, Alium Triquetrum, representing self-care. What can you do today and every day to nurture love for yourself? And the art, the flower, is the single stem with a leaf that kind of is shooting out like a spout to the side. And for me, when I look at this, I always look at a faucet. It's like, is self-care this faucet that we can turn on and off, right? And what do we want flowing in our lives? So this is a beautiful remembrance of what hope can look like. I don't know what comes up for you.
Well, I love that it's another kind of affirmation of the step-by-step, day-by-day, moment-to-moment. You know, in some ways, that's kind of the mundane that is so deep and subtle at the same time. And I feel like we've been picking this card a lot for season three. I showed up in like three episodes at least now. And so I feel like maybe this is a larger message from nature, which is, you know, yes, there's so much we can do for the world, but we got to start with ourselves. And this plant to me always looks like an antenna in how it's looking at its own self, that leaf that it's extending. And so I feel like it is kind of the moment of what do I need, but also what do I need for the next cycle, you know, a little bit more long range even. And I would answer that with like rest. I'm really feeling this transition to fall and the colder weather on the land and the slowing down, the darker days. So I feel like it's inviting me to sleep longer.
And how about for you, Emily, as you think about the card hope that you received and now the card of self-care for our community, what's coming up for you?
Mostly that I'm going to take this one. Like I feel like I'm a member of the community in this card pull and that I could really use this also. This is the exact balance to all of that slow building we've been talking about. And the other thing in my life that I try to balance is that I do need a lot of self-care and I'm still really working on health and getting sort of autoimmune disease under control. And it's a big one, self-care and pacing. So I'm glad we got this one.
And interestingly, these two themes are on the Garden of Healing album and they're back to back. So self-care is song number 3 and hope is song number 4. But I think Emily, since you said that this card felt just as much for you as for the community, I feel like we should listen to the self-care song to close us out. But before we do, I don't know if there's anything else that you would like to share, and Belinda, if there's anything that you would like to share with the community, in terms of setting an intention as we listen to, this closing song.
For me, I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you so much for having me, and this whole discussion has been really fun. Thank you.
Thank you, Emily. And for me, what I would invite our listeners and viewers to do is put a soft hand to your heart as you listen to this song and really feel it with your heart. Thank you.
Thank you so much for pausing, for inviting hope and self-care, and really just that step-by-step. Wish you the best on your journey and that sort of stringing those wires together.
Thank you so, so much.
Thank you, Emily. Sending lots of hope and self-care to you all.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Cheers.